Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
As a scientist, I can tell you that Sundays are only 24 hours long. But with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV, you get every game every Sunday all in one place. That's upwards of 30 hours of NFL in one day. How can there be 30 hours in 24 hours, you ask? I have a theory. Magic. New users get NFL Sunday Ticket for 8 payments of $34.50 per month. Sign up at NFLSundayTicket.com. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games and commercial use. Terms and embargoes apply. Availability varies.
But a commonality between the two of you guys is that there's still that 14th forward spot that none of us can really come to. And I think we're all kind of in agreement with the 13 that we've named so far. I think that Minton and Khustadinov also or would be among my 14. But there's still that. And to Scott's point earlier, maybe they don't have a 14th forward, right? Maybe they don't. But again, a lot of traditional 23-man rosters do have that those two extra forwards. And I can't figure out who that 14th one is. And partly it's because it's not so much that I can't think of a 14th forward who deserves the spot, but it's about would you rather that 14th forward be sitting in a press box or would you rather them be down in Providence getting reps and playing in all situations, right? So it's like, does Matt Patra, would you rather him being an extra forward for the Bruins or would you rather him in Providence? And I could say the same thing about Lachmelis. I could even say the same thing about Lysel.
Those guys all need to play. Frazier, Minton too. Like,
well, that's the thing.
They need
Minton
to play.
Too.
There's no, I see very little value in having any of them in Boston as an extra forward who's playing less than half the games. Like that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So the guy to discuss here is Johnny Beecher, who we did bring up a little bit earlier, but certainly has not done really anything to win a job and arguably has done enough to lose an NHL job. I mean, like I said, like that was a bad turnover. He also, on the penalty kill, he had a chance to clear a puck, kind of bobbles it, fumbles it around, loses it, stays in the zone.
Nobody on him.
Yeah, like those are tough plays. Tough as in like it can't happen. Not tough as in like it was a hard play to make because it wasn't. Look, I would totally get the case for saying just put Johnny Beecher on waivers and someone claims him, see ya. And if they don't, you send him to Providence. But I could also see the case first just saying, well, you know, like, okay, if he's our extra forward and he's not playing that much, like, is there any real harm in keeping him around? You know, maybe you keep working with him in practice and he gets better. And if you need someone to fill in on the fourth line and be a faceoff guy, penalty killer, like, can he do that? You know, like, even if he doesn't have a good camp, is it worth keeping him around as your 14th forward with the understanding of like, hey, you're not in the lineup on a nightly basis, but we're going to keep working with you. And like, we want you around.
Yeah. And I just want to, sorry, Bridget. It's the lag. You go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. If people are watching this, they can probably tell that my computer is, I think, overheating, so it's lagging a little bit. What I was going to say is I think the Beecher comment that you're making, Scott, and I think, Brian, you mentioned it before we even got on the podcast, because we often talk for at least 10 minutes before we start recording, that it Beecher might make sense as the, you know, second extra forward, if you will, or one of the extra forwards, because you're not really worried about like stunting his development by not getting him playing time. I just think he's at a different point in his career than someone like Potra and Lysell and Mitten. And I think Steves is another name too, right? Is it, it might be between those two guys as the last forward addition to the team. And Steves has also played in this preseason so far. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on him. He was another guy who was an AHL guy last year, but right there at the top of the league in points with Blumel. So I don't know. Maybe it's him instead of Beecher.
Well, Bridget, that's exactly that's where my mind was going too, because and it's when we talk about Loschmelis, Patra, Lysell potentially going to Providence as opposed to making the team and being an extra forward, it's the same reasoning I said with Frederick Brunet. I'd rather them play in Providence than sit there and get cold, which it, for Jordan Harris, you don't really mind if he's in the press box. There are certain players where you don't mind if in the press box. That's how I feel about Johnny Beecher, to your point. He can park his ass on the ninth floor, but here's the thing. You bring up Alex Steves. Steves can also be that guy that you put in the press box. He's mid-20s, career AHL to this point. But I've liked his game better than Beecher's. Like, even that role of, like, sit in the press box, I'd rather Steves. He does more. When he are so far in preseason, in the practices and preseason games I've seen, he does more to impact the game with and without the puck on his stick. Now, he's not Mark Messier out there. But, Scott, you mentioned the turnover that led to the goal that Beecher had at the defensive blue line. It's hockey 101 at the lowest levels. You cannot make that. You win a faceoff in the D zone on a penalty kill. He's got nobody on him, and it somehow gets stuck in his skates and the puck stays in. And then to make matters worse for Beecher, Isimont after that scores a shorthanded goal and becomes the best player in the world for about 10 minutes. But besides those mistakes that Beecher made, he doesn't do a damn thing out there. He's taking up space. He makes no plays. He doesn't do anything. At least Alex Steves, I can say, hey, you could be our 14th forward, and if we get a couple guys hurt or someone sucks for a few games, we'll put you on the fourth line, and I'm sure you'll make an impact that Beecher won't. So even that role of, you know, get a seat warm up top, I'd rather that go to Steves and Beecher at this point. I really haven't seen anything for Beecher in about a calendar year now that tells me he should have a spot over anybody in any situation.
Yeah, I think they're different players. So, like, I could see... I mean, honestly, I could even see a scenario where, hey, if you like 12 forwards enough, and you're going to... Maybe you send Fraser Minton to Providence to start, and everyone freaks out. But I've mentioned it before, like, there's still offensive development that has to happen there. So I don't think it would be the end of the world. But in that scenario, you would still have 12 other forwards that we've listed off that I can run through in a minute. But then maybe Beecher and Steves both hang around as extra forwards. And Beecher's there as another center, fourth line guy, if you need to fill in there. And Steves is there as a winger who can maybe go in on the third line. Right? Like, those are two different roles. Those are two different players. And that would kind of make sense as your 13th and 14th forward. If you're going to have 14, have two different types of players who can go into the lineup in different spots and do different things. You know, because like I'm envisioning, okay, what I just laid out where Minton goes down to Providence to start and everyone handles it in a completely rational manner. Your lines could look something like this. Geeky, Lindholm, Pasternak, we're all in agreement. We've seen Marco Sturm has tried Blumel with Zacha. Like, maybe he sticks there. Maybe you have a Blumel, Zacha, Arvidsson line. Maybe a third line is something like Husnadinov, Mittelstad, Janot, which I think could be an interesting combination. Mittelstad has played with both of them, either in with Husnadinov last night in a game. He's also skated with Janot in a couple practices. AC Monk, Corrali, Kastelic as your fourth, and then Beecher and Steves as extra forwards. Like, I could see something like that.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm really not trying. I agree. I like those lines in that situation, Scott. You know, with Minton, I drew these up before the podcast too. If Minton makes the team, I kind of just drew this idea out there. Geeky, Lindholm, Pasternak, Zaka centering Janot and Arvidsson, and then Mittelstadt centering Blumel and Minton. I mean, Mittelstadt and Blumel obviously looked good last night. That's a, you know, no drinking game here, small sample size. But you know, there could be something there too. And then the same fourth line you said, but I'm trying not to be super down on Beecher, but I gotta be honest, like there are guys even beyond these players where I'd rather see Patrick Brown or Riley Duran than Beecher. I know Beecher has the NHL experience, but I'm about as low on him as I've ever been on a Bruins player. Like, to me, he hasn't done anything in over a year. And I see other guys that are making well in opportunities. So it's tough to see, you know, Patrick Brown and Riley Duran do what they were supposed to do. But then because of the politics game, it's like, well, Beach is going to get the spot instead of you. Well, you know what? Like, whoever deserves the spot, even if it's a 14th forward spot, should be the guy, you know? And he's gonna really do a 180 to make me think otherwise, to be honest with you guys.
Well, you already know how Scott feels about Patrick Brown, so you don't got to tell him twice about that part. But guys, I think we're getting low on time, and there's a fashion segment, I think, that it's a street. We've talked about it before, but you guys get to see the jerseys on the ice, the road whites.
Scott, you want to go first? I mean, holy shit. I mean, just unreal.
I gotta catch my breath for a second. Yeah. Hold on.
I'm starting to sweat just thinking about him. I'm getting palpitations over here. Like, my God, was that something?
In the big logo.
Those were sexy. Oh, man. Those were sexy. Yeah. Scott loves a big logo.
Quite possibly the best uniform in the NHL. The Bruins' new road whites. I saw someone tweet they should just wear them all 82 games, wear them at home too. And I'm like, you know what? Boy, I wouldn't hate that. But yeah, I mean, look, I like the black ones too, but the white really just looks like so fresh. Like, it looks so good. Yeah, I mean, elite jersey matchup overall last night. Obviously, Rangers is always a classic. But yeah, I mean, those white jerseys, they look amazing out there.
I think you have the Bruins, you have the Canadiens, the Red Wings. You know, the Blackhawks, I mean, those white jerseys, all those that I just mentioned, I think you're hard-pressed to find anything that could be better than that. I think that's as good of a Bruins white uniform as there can be. I mean, obviously, you know, we've talked about the addition of a Meth Bear shoulder patch and, you know, maybe a slightly smaller logo, right? But more or less, like, oh, man, unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, thanks for prompting us, Bridget. I mean, I know we really can't go too much longer because then we're going to ask our listeners to listen to Scott and Casey Mittelstadt for some time as well. But yeah, I mean, they looked as good as I hoped they would be. Truly. I mean, they look so good. Yep.
You're welcome for this surprise fashion segment.
Yeah. No, appreciate that. Appreciate that. And again, just have to apologize again for last episode for hijacking your news for Scott and I to talk about jerseys. You know, that can't happen. That can't happen again.
You saw that it didn't faze me at all. I just wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
By the way, I will say, I got a lot of really nice feedback comments from people who congratulated me on that, by the way. Some BU people, some BU fans, some colleagues of ours in the Bruins media, some coworkers and colleagues from the college hockey side of things. So thank you if you reached out and said, you know, congrats. And you know, so I'll see some of you, I guess, at Aganis. It sounds like a lot of people are planning on being there this season. So I'm excited. Friday is the first broadcast, like I mentioned, and we're getting ready, prepping all day today to get underway.
I can't wait for college hockey. I'm always excited, but I think I'm especially excited for this season. Like, obviously, Hagen's being over at BC is a big part of it, along with all the other Bruins prospects there, like being able to watch them. And then, you know, BU is going to be really good. They're number two in like all these preseason national polls, number one in the Hockey East coaches poll for the conference. I think they're going to have just a really good team, like possibly the deepest that they've had under Jay Pandolfo. I think I saw. So I know they have the most NHL draft picks of any team this year, but I think I saw it might be like the most in college hockey history, or like close to it, or the most in a while. Like, I mean, they basically can ice an entire roster of NHL picks every night. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Scott, do you want to just quickly, without giving too much information away, prompt listeners about what they might hear in your interview with Mittelstad?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously we talked about his season last year and trying to bounce back. And I think he was pretty open about, like, what went wrong. He said he didn't like the season he had. He talked about reflecting on it and kind of, you know, the things that he looked at, feeling like he needed to be in better shape. And then talked a little bit about defense, you know, which I think has been the question mark with him for a while. And is something that we'll have to, Marcus Thurman's made it clear that, you know, his centers have to play defense, and that's obviously like, that's every team, but I think there's levels of demand. And I think it's clear that Marcus Thurman's system is going to demand a lot of centers in the defensive zone. So, you know, I think I'll let people judge. Like, I think I appreciate Casey Mittelstad kind of addressing his shortcomings last year head on, and like not ducking questions about it, not acting like, not making excuses, not acting like it wasn't a big deal. Like, He was clearly pretty disappointed with how last season went. And then there's a couple things in there about like Minnesota versus Boston hockey culture. So we veer off path a little bit.
Yeah. And him getting acclimated to Boston, the area. And yeah, Scott normally veers off at some point.
Usually even if so, just like behind the scenes, like I actually didn't record this with the intent of it being for the podcast. It was actually just like a one-on-one interview for an article I'm doing for WEI.com, and then decided to use it for the podcast after. But yeah, usually if I know I'm recording for the podcast, I'll throw in even like extra stuff, but didn't really get too much into that in this one.
Yeah. Like, who makes the best IPA, or what's your favorite song from, let's see. What bands does Scott like? Springsteen. What's your favorite Springsteen song? That's normally.
I mean, I have asked multiple Bruins that because Jonas Corposalo and Jeremy Swayman are both Springsteen fans, and slightly disappointed that both of their answers was Born in the USA, which is obviously a great song, but is also like kind of the most basic answer you can give to that question.
You wanted a deep cut.
Yeah.
Like, to prove you really listen.
Yeah, like give me, or at least like give me like Darkness on the Edge of Town, or like prove it all night or something. Like, you know, go at least like second level.
Scott, what was the name of the band you saw again last night?
You guys, great band name. So they're a Swedish post-punk band called Viagra Boys.
You're kidding. That can't be a real name.
No, that's true. That's what you told me before the podcast.
No. That's the name. Okay, I thought maybe you went to Sleep Token, because I think Sleep Token was last night in Worcester.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, someone tweeted at me asking if that's what I was at, but it was not.
Apparently tickets to that were like $1,600, so.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
They got Willa. They got my daughter.
I need to find her. Willa!
From acclaimed director Paul Thomas Anderson.
You can save that girl.
Today, experience what is being called the best movie of the year.
This is the end of the line.
Not for you.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Benicio del Toro, Tiana Taylor, Chase Infinity.
Let's go! Here
I am. One battle after another. Now playing only in theaters. Experience it in IMAX. Rated R. Under 17, unadmitted without parent. You can hide.
That's insane.
Yeah. I guess they got really popular. I don't know. My brother wanted to go, but he was like, I don't have that kind of money. So anyway, you know what I'm ready to throw it over.
You know what I would pay $1,600 for? A one-on-one sit-down with Scott McLaughlin and Casey Mittelstadt. So that'll do it for our portion of the podcast. And enjoy your listenership of Scott and Casey Mittelstadt.
So I just want to follow up a little on a couple things from yesterday, but how are you kind of just approaching, you know, obviously you come over last year, it's a weird situation. How are you kind of approaching this year and the opportunity you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously I personally wasn't happy with how last year went, so I think on a personal level there's some pride, you know, to prove that you're a better player than that, and I think I'm in a good spot where I'm going to have a good opportunity, and you know, a lot of guys kind of in the same boat, so I'm very excited, and obviously a good first few days of camp, and now let's keep it going.
How much do you know, when last season ends, do you kind of reflect on like what went wrong and what you didn't like versus just kind of turning the page and moving on?
I mean, to be honest, I think you reflect a lot. I think you want to learn from things that you didn't like, and you know, kind of make some changes surrounded by those things. And you know, at the same time, also every year is different. You got to find different things that you need to work on and things that you thought you didn't do well. So yeah, I think obviously, especially with the longer off season, you definitely take some time to reflect and, you know, make a plan on what you want to do to get better.
What kind of things did you identify that you wanted to improve?
I mean, I think a big thing for me last year was probably just, you know, my body, making sure I'm getting stronger and, you know, strong enough to kind of maintain how I want to play throughout the whole year. And, yeah, I think on top of that, obviously, some things on the ice, you know, try to work on my skating a little bit and, you know, as well as just finding the confidence and the mentality that I think I need to have to play.
Did you sense a trade was potentially coming, you know, to the deadline, or were you kind of surprised?
I mean, you know, I think I probably sensed it with how it was going, and, you know, especially the situation that they're in, and you know, every year they want to win, and, you know, I don't think I was playing my best, so I think I probably sensed it was coming, and, you know, obviously any time it happens, there's still an element of surprise, but... I think I was more surprised the first time than the second time.
When you think back to, you know, your better seasons in Buffalo, you know, when you were approaching 60 points, is there, can you kind of remember, like, you know, what felt good, like things that, you know, you want to get back to?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I think a big element of it for me is just winning battles, and I think that goes back to, you know, the work in the weight room and the strength side of it, and you know, at the same time, I think when I can slow the game down a little bit for myself and, you know, play with the puck on my stick, I think that's when I'm at my best. So those are probably the two main areas of focus and, you know, things that I think I do well when I'm playing well.
I think yesterday we talked a little bit about the defensive side and, you know, what Marco wants out of centers. How do you feel you've grown defensively, or what do you, you know, feel you still need to kind of work on there?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously it's a big part of the game, and you know, I think for me, when I'm playing well and you know, making plays with the puck, I think I'm better defensively. I don't even know how that really makes sense, but you know, just trusting my instincts. I think I have really good instincts, and it's just a matter of trusting them and playing fast and, you know, making reads and getting to them.
When you look at, or you know, if you do look at like the lineup, I mean, do you care? Do you think about like second line, third line, like, you know, where you're going to start out?
To be honest, no. I think I've been to enough camps now where I try not to read into it, and you know, I just want to go play. I think if I go play well and you know, control the things that I can control, then I think things will work out.
This summer, was that mostly spent back home in Minnesota?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much all of it.
Zach, do you have like a, you know, same group you're always with there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of different places around Minnesota. I kind of jump around skating wise, but yeah, same group. Pretty overall, I guess I would say same group most days, and yeah, it's been fun. Obviously, it's a good spot to train. There's so many players, so it works out well.
Have you been able to get any more acclimated with Boston?
yeah, I'm finding my way. I mean, I got a dog and a fiance, so we spend a lot of time walking, which honestly works out well. So yeah, I'm finding my way around, especially around Charlestown. I think I gotta conquer Charlestown, and then we'll conquer the rest.
Because I know Boston, Minnesota, like always mentioned, is kind of the two hockey hotbeds. Have you been able to notice any similarities, differences in terms of like hockey culture?
Yeah, I mean, I think just walking around Charlestown, simply, there's so many hockey nets. It's pretty similar to Minnesota. I mean, drive through my neighborhood, there's one in every driveway. So it's fun for me to see that. And, you know, I think as we go more, I think I'll experience more. Obviously, I had a taste of it last year just with the fans and how passionate they are and how much they love hockey. So I think as we keep going here, I'll experience it more.
They are passionate, and sometimes that means criticism as well. Like, how do you kind of handle that? You know, do you lock it out? Do you use things as motivation? Like, what's kind of your approach to that?
To be honest, I don't pay attention to it. I'm not super active on social media and listening to things like that. So, you know, for me, I think, yeah, I just block it out. I think the main thing is just control the things that you can control. And, I mean, you can play your best hockey ever and someone's still going to have a negative thing to say. So there's really no point to pay attention to it, in my opinion.
Do you, coming in, I'm sure, like, do you look at this as, like, hey, I have an opportunity to prove I'm part of the solution here. And, you know, this is, like, a place I can be long-term in this next chapter?
Yeah, of course. I think anytime you're at a place, you want to play the best you can and you want to be a part of the solution. I think that's, you know, what everyone wants. And obviously with such a storied organization and a storied culture, I think it would be an honor to do so.
Thanks a lot, Keith.
Thank you very much.
ABC Wednesday, Shifting Gears is back.
He has arisen.
Tim Allen and Kat Dennings return in television's number one new comedy.
What?
With a star-studded premiere, including Jenna Elfman, Nancy Travis, and...
Hey, buddy!
A big home improvement reunion.
Welcome.
Oh, boy.
That guy's a tool.
Shifting Gears, season premiere Wednesday, 8, 7 Central on ABC, and stream on Hulu.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.